Start your day with a fresh word of encouragement. I'm Paul de Jong, and you're now listening to Words of Life, a daily devotional from our life team.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Words of Life podcast. It's Simon and Erin Manners joining you today.
Hi there everyone, I hope you're all doing well. And Erin, I have to say, you are looking, as always, fantastic.
Oh, you are really taking this Words of Life thing to the next level, babe.
Well, I had a bit of practice, to be honest, and so, you know, it just comes very naturally to me now.
Well, you're going to get a whole lot of practice today because we are talking about one of the most challenging chapters in the entire Bible, and that is Romans chapter 9.
Yeah, in terms of theological debate, this goes straight into the deep end. There's some big thoughts, some big questions, and we're just going to state it right now. I don't think that we've got all of the answers.
Yeah, in fact, you're probably going to go away from this podcast with a whole lot more questions than answers, but we are going to try and offer a little bit of a summary and some insights into this chapter.
Yeah.
And I guess we start off by premising it with chapters 1 to 8, which hopefully you've been able to listen to the podcast over the last week or so, is really all about Paul convincing us about how much we need God, about the things that he has given us through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and the love, the great love that he has for each one of us in Christ Jesus.
Man, it's really heartwarming. I know, I love that. But Romans 9 through to 11 takes a bit of a different turn. What happens?
Well, in this one, in these chapters, Paul really deals with the problem associated with the condition of the Israelite people. And in chapter 9 specifically, he deals with this question around man's free will versus God's sovereignty. So it's pretty deep stuff, pretty heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm. And he starts out in the first few verses really just declaring how heartbroken he is, because Paul was both Jewish, but he was also a Roman citizen. I mean, him and his father, they both served as Pharisees. Paul, if you want to describe it like this, he was truly a child of Israel. And so it says that he was in anguish for his people because they had, as a nation, they had rejected Christ.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a few people had believed, but the majority of Jewish people were still trusting in the law to save them. That's what they'd been given. That's what they'd grown up with. But many of them rejected Jesus as the Messiah. So they're still waiting for him to come. And, you know, Paul, who had had this radical conversion, he knew what it was to seek righteousness through the law. But then through meeting Jesus, he then understood what it was to have grace. And it's incredible how much he is just devastated about the fact that so many of the Jewish people are going to miss out on the promise that was given to them because of their rejection of who Jesus was.
Yeah, and he makes this incredible statement that he actually wishes he could trade places. He wishes he himself would be cut off on behalf of his, you know, fellow Jew, that they would find Christ. And I think Paul finds Israel's rejection of the Messiah all the more sad because he knew from the backstory just how privileged they were as
right.
The chosen people. So if you're not aware of this story, obviously it starts with Abraham, and God chose Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob to start this lineage through which ultimately, Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be born, and they just completely missed it. I mean, Paul insists that God will keep all of his promises to Israel, but not everyone. He then goes on to say that just because you're born of the lineage through the, you know, the Israelite and being Jewish doesn't necessarily mean that you will, you know, inherit the promise.
Yeah, which is actually good news for you and I, Simon,
yeah,
because we
is.
Were not born Jewish. And the Bible makes it very clear that there is neither Jew or Gentile. We are all one in Christ if we receive him, if we choose to accept him through faith and faith alone.
Mm.
And I think it poses some pretty big questions in here. You know, it's all around, you know, God's mercy, and how does God choose who he gives mercy to and who he doesn't? And the book of the chapter 9 of Romans, he gives three examples of people who God has chose to give his promise to. And he talks about, you know, Abraham's son by Sarah, you know, it wasn't any of his other sons, and we know that Abraham had other wives, but yet he chose the son by Sarah. And then secondly, God chose to give the promise to one of Rebekah's twin sons over the other. We know that he chose Jacob over Esau, even though Esau was the firstborn, and he did that before they were even born. So God had already made a decision. And so it's quite hard to get your head around that fact, but
So I just want to pose the question, if God had already chosen, you know, these certain people over each other, is that fair? Is that just?
Yeah, and Paul asks that exact same question, but then he says, but who are you to answer back? We're just mere mortals, you know. And I think he's just really throwing our humanity back in our face and saying, you know, you can't question every decision that God makes. And he talks about, you know, God being the potter and we being the clay, and he gets to choose what he makes out of the different lumps of clay, essentially, some for honorable and some for dishonorable purposes, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we've got to come to a place where we're okay with the fact that God chooses different people for different paths.
That's right. And we really have got to put to rest our questioning of God. It reminds me of, you know, in Job, where Job has everything he owns stripped away from him. And it's this question, is that fair? And God says, well, where were you, Job, when I made the heavens and the earth, when I put everything, when I put the stars in their place? Are you God? And the simple answer is, we're not going to understand all of this. We are not going to have all of the answers to these questions, and we've got to be okay with that. That God's God and we're not, and we've got to trust him at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I guess if you ask the question, well, why does God choose some people for some things, like, you know, why some people born into poverty and others into wealth, and why some people plagued by ill health all of their life, whereas others live a full life till they're in their hundreds?
That's right. Why does God heal some people and not others? We don't know.
We don't know, but we do know that God is in control and he has a plan for every single one of our lives, but we get to choose. You know, he had a plan for Israel. Some of them chose to believe and place faith in Jesus. Some of them didn't. And the same thing applies to you and I today.
Yeah.
God has a plan for us, but we get to choose what we do with that.
Yeah, I absolutely 100% believe that, because I believe over my own life that God had a plan and a purpose for me to become a doctor. But did I have to choose all those years of study? Did I have to, you know, choose to do those exams and follow through until it became a reality? Absolutely, I did. The same as our marriage, Erin. You know,
yeah.
I think God brought us together to be married, to be together. But we still had to choose each other, to love each other and commit to each other. And it's a similar kind of concept.
Yeah, so I think what we can take from this chapter, well, there's so much more in there and you can go back and do your own reading, is just that God is sovereign and he is in control, and he does make decisions that we won't always understand. But what we can do is trust that he has a plan for the salvation of mankind, and the way in which he chooses to outwork that is in his hands and up to him. And we just need to keep stepping forward and being obedient and trusting him and not questioning some of the decisions that he makes, because he is God and we are not.
That's right. And the great thing is that if we can do that, if we can believe, then by faith, like it was with Abraham, it will be counted to us as righteousness. We'll be grafted in, we'll become children of that promise. And I think that's really exciting. So we're going to leave it there. Why don't we wrap up in prayer?
That's good. Father, we thank you that you are such a good God and you are sovereign over all. And although we won't, this side of eternity, have all of the answers to all of our questions, we do know that we can trust you. And so we pray that you would help us to just trust that you're in control, that you know what you're doing. And we're just so thankful for the plan that you have for each of our individual lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks for joining us for another encouraging word from the Life team. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. We'd love to have you join us at church this Sunday. If you're in Auckland or Melbourne, check out the website for a location near you. Or you can choose to join us online from wherever you are. Find a service at lifenz.org.